We invite you to worship with us today in our live stream and in person. We're so glad y'all are here. We come to worship the Lord. There's nothing that's too hard for Him. Amen. And come to praise Him today. Amen. He's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. anything is possible. You're the God of miracles. Everything we speak, by faith we're gonna see. There is nothing you can't do. Every word you say is true. Lord, you never failed. Your people will prevail. We're not afraid of giants. Cause they always fall. Come on and say, Lord, we know you hear us. Every time we call, shout if you believe it. Till every wall comes down. Shout because you know. For our God. Thank you, Jesus. We trust in you. Yes, we do, God. All our fear is gone away. Every day we walk by faith. Come on, somebody say, we have over. We already won. Already won. You've given us the victory. You've supplied our every need. We've got history, story, and that's why we still believe. We could speak to mountains, and they have to move. Yes, they do. Power and authority, it comes from you. Oh, shout if you believe it. Till every wall comes down. Hey, shout because you know that. Nothing's impossible. Say it again. Say, shout if you believe it. Till every wall comes down. Yes, shout because you know that. Nothing's impossible. We're not afraid of famine. You always will provide. Who can stand against us when you're on our side? You know that nothing's impossible. Shout if you believe it. Till every wall comes down. Shout because you know that nothing's impossible. Why don't we just look at our mountain this morning and say, you've got to move. Amen. Whatever that obstacle is that's facing you today, we have power. Our God has power and authority over it. Amen.
Nothing's impossible. All things are possible. He's still working miracles. It's happening now. Nothing's impossible. All things are possible.
See, he's still. We believe that today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you are still working miracles. Amen. That nothing is too hard for our God. We serve the God of the miraculous. It doesn't even matter what it looks like in the natural. Come on. Amen. We serve a great big God. Nothing's impossible. See, all things are possible. He's still working.
He's still working miracles. It's happening.
Happening now. All things are possible. 'Cause all We believe that there is nothing that is impossible. Hallelujah.
Happen when you believe. Miracles can happen when you receive. In the presence of the Lord, you are free indeed. Miracles can happen when you believe.
Come on, do you believe this morning? Yes, there's nothing that's too hard for our God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Nothing is too hard for you. We give you praise. Yes, we do, Lord. They saw Jesus walk on water. Only Peter could believe. Heard the Savior tell him, come forth. And only keep your eyes on me. Oh, he makes impossible things.
Come on, say it.
Possible things. Let faith rise in this place. Say he makes impossible things. Possible things. When you believe. Oh. Jesus come to Lazarus after he had passed away. They heard the Savior tell him, come forth.
And guess what?
Yeah. He came walking out that grave. Say he makes impossible, impossible things, possible things. Yeah. Come on and say it again. Say he makes. Impossible things, possible things.
Yes.
He makes impossible things, possible things. Yes, you do, Lord, you make. He makes impossible things, possible things. When you believe. Oh,
today
we believe your promises are yes and amen.
Yeah,
when you believe. Say miracles. Miracles can happen when you believe. Miracles can happen when you receive. In the presence of the Lord, you are free.
We're gonna say it again. Say miracles can happen.
Miracles can happen when you believe. Miracles can happen when you receive. In the presence of the Lord, you are free indeed. Miracles can happen when you believe.
Come on, let that faith rise within you this morning. We believe. How many of you would say this morning that we believe? Hallelujah.
They saw Jesus whipped and beaten, crucified at Calvary. Bowed his head and said, it's finished. 3 days later, rose as me.
Come on, just say that last part. Say,
3 days later, rose as me.
This morning,
when you believe, we believe, we believe. When you believe,
yes, we believe. Come on, just tell the Lord that this morning. Say, I believe.
Promise.
promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. I've seen you move. You move the mountains. And I believe I see you do it again. You've made a way when there was no way. And I believe I see you do it again. I've seen you move. Come on, sing it out. You move the mountains. And I believe I see you do it again.
I see you do it again.
You made a way.
Made a way when there was no way. And I believe
I'll see you do it again. Come on, sing it out.
I've seen you move. You move the mountains. And I believe
I'll see you do it again. Oh yes, you made a way.
Made a way when there was no way. And I believe I'll see you do it again.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. And it's gonna work in your favor. Come on, do you believe it? Say late.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor.
Come on, sing it out. Say late in the midnight hour, I know that God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. Yes, come on, sing it again. Say late in the midnight hour.
In the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor.
Come on, we believe that when we praise, that there's something that takes place that manifests itself in the natural realm. Amen. When we praise, we tap into the supernatural realm and begin to bring down his presence. The word says that he inhabits, he lives in the praises of his people. So when we praise, we know he's already here. Amen. Come on, let's say it. Say, late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn around. Say, it's gonna work in your favor. Yes, come on, say it again. Say, late in the midnight.
Turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor.
Yes, hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus, that you're working in ways that we can't see. We thank you, God, for miracles. We thank you for signs and wonders to be released, oh God. Hallelujah. Say,
late in the midnight hour. Late in the midnight hour. Late in the midnight hour. Late in the midnight hour.
So God's gonna turn. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God, that you know every circumstance that we're dealing with, every situation. God, we come with great expectation, with increased faith, knowing that you're moving on our behalf. We thank you for miracles. We thank you for signs and wonders to be released in this place this morning. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way in this place. Have your way in and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We're so glad that each of you are here this morning worshiping with us. And we know that God has a miracle for you. So good to see our in-person church family here this morning. We encourage you to share this video on your page. Invite somebody, tag somebody that you know that will be touched by today's message. We are believing for incredible things. We are continuing. This is our last. We're closing up our Refocus series today. And I'm very excited about what God's going to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Ready for, we're going to do tithes and offerings next? Right. Okay. All right.
Good morning, Praise Church. How y'all doing today? Everybody's doing good? Happy to be here. Glad to be here. So blessed to see y'all. I take privilege and honor being able to share with you this morning our tithes and offerings here over at Praise Church, too. And just let me take a second to go ahead and just open up a welcome invitation to anybody who's never had the chance to visit our church campus and our church family. I can guarantee you two things if you do ever visit this church is, one, you'll be welcomed with warm arms. We're very inviting. We're a welcome, warming church family. And it's, no matter your background, no matter where you come from, you'll definitely find a family here at Praise Church of Ascension, Praise Church of Louisiana. And the second thing that you will receive here at Praise Church is you will receive the fundamental teachings of the Bible of Jesus Christ. And you will get a message from any of our pastors, whether it's Pastor Garland and Pastor Beverly or Pastor Josh, Pastor Derek and Erica. You will get, Pastor Bethany, you will get a fundamental teachings from Jesus Christ, from the Word of God. And those are two things that I can guarantee you. So let me continue to say, you're always welcome. Our doors are completely open Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. over here at Praise Church of Ascension. But this morning, we're going to give our tithes and offerings. And there's three real quick reminders that I want to just share with you that just proves that there's purpose that God has for your life. And that first one, and it comes out of the book of John 3:16. Everybody knows the verse. Everybody knows the scripture. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish." That scripture sticks out so much to me because being a parent, I don't think I love anyone enough to give up my only child for them. And that God gave his only son for a world of strangers that he didn't even know just speaks volumes to the love that he has for you and he has for each and every person that's in this world. And that scripture goes on to say that he will not perish, but he will have eternal life. And eternal life is something that sticks out. And that brings me to my next point. You know, eternal life, in the first book of Peter, Peter writes three books, and he's talking about the hope of eternal life. And he's laying out guidelines for the generations of churches to come on how now to live, now that Jesus has left this earth. He's gone into heaven to be with God. And he talks about different ways of living and different creeds and different rules and standards that we're going to have to follow. But he goes on to say in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. You rejoice with glorious, inexpressible joy." And what that basically is saying is everything that's going on in our life and everything that we have to face from trials and tribulations, there is God there. He has eternal life planned for us. And through everything that we have to go to, we have to remain focused that there is life after the life that we live here on earth. And when we do finally get to experience that eternal life, there'll be glorious, inexpressible joy. So your purpose here on earth is only for a time. And you say, "Well, Brother Herman, what is glorious, inexpressible joy?" Imagine your funniest moment, your happiest encounter, and now multiply that times infinity. That's glorious, inexpressible joy. Something cannot be thought of here on earth. I get the chill bumps just thinking about it. That's what life is going to be like with eternal life with our Heavenly Father. And the third reason, really quick, while you're preparing your gift for tithes and offering this morning, is that God woke you up this morning. And if you think he didn't have a purpose for you, you would not be here this morning. And if you're searching for that purpose, you don't have to look further than the surroundings that's right inside of your midst. And the reason I say that is whoever you're sitting next to, and if you're in a room alone right now, you can pick up a cell phone. But the people that you come in contact with, that's your purpose. Because the impression that you leave on them is going to define the purpose that's in your life, because they're going to know from your first encounter and from your first immediate interaction if God is present and if Jesus lives in your heart. And that's where your purpose comes from. That's our job, is to leave an example of Christ, and is to leave a lasting impression that Jesus Christ lives in our heart and God is there for us no matter what we're going through. So prepare your gifts this morning. We thank you. You know, the Bible tells us to give, and it tells us to cheerfully give and not to give with our head, but to give with our heart this morning, right? So, dear Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to give, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to pour into the kingdom of God, Lord. We pray for every single person that's watching online and every single person that's sitting in the congregation today, Lord. You know what's going on in each and every person's life, and you have a purpose for them, and you have a reason that they're here, and you have a reason for them to be in existence. And we know, Lord, that no matter what they're going through, you've given them the Holy Spirit, Lord, to use them and guide them in their everyday walk with Jesus Christ. We thank you for that, Lord, and continue to be with them each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you for tuning in this morning. We thank you for your gift. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.
Hi, and welcome to Praise Church. We are so excited that you're worshiping with us today. We have three campus locations: Ascension, New Orleans, and online. To find out more about us and our ministry, please visit praisechurchoflouisiana.com. Monday, August 31st, begins our 21 days of prayer and fasting. During this time, we are believing for breakthroughs and miracles. Are you in need of healing in your physical body? Maybe you need a breakthrough in the midst of an impossible situation. Join us for Breakthrough Night, September the 8th at 7 o'clock at our New Orleans campus, and September the 9th at 7 o'clock at our Ascension campus. There is no greater way to get better connected with Praise Church than in finding community and spiritual growth in our Synced Group ministry. We are excited to announce that our fall Synced Group semester will begin September the 14th. Synced Group registration will be provided for free on our website. Find a group that interests you today. Hi, and welcome to Praise Church. We are so
excited. All right, good morning. If you would turn to me, with me to Isaiah chapter 11. We're going to talk about Isaiah chapter 11 today, and then my wife Bethany's going to come up, and she's going to share in just a little bit, so that you get a word from both of us. But I believe that Isaiah chapter 11, we're going to go through the whole chapter, but the key verses I'm going to focus really in on is 12 and 13, so if you want to write that down to go back and study later. But Isaiah chapter 11, this is, Isaiah the prophet, many, many years ago, actually 750-something years before Christ came to the earth, he was prophesying about Jesus and the type of crucifixion that he would have. But in Isaiah chapter 11, he's now talking about a time that's in the future, in the millennial reign, or the time that's in the future at the end days. So I want to read that to you today because I feel like it's the word the Lord gave me a time in this word, and I believe the title of if I would have a title of my message, it says that praise and fruitfulness will no longer be at war. See, a lot of times in life we have praise, but we have no fruit. And a lot of times we have a lot of fruit and things are good, but because things are good, we have no praise. But in the days ahead, I'm telling you that our praise and our fruitfulness will work together. And we'll get there in the scripture. So in verse 1, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a branch will bear fruit. Now the stump is a metaphor from the remnant of the royal family line of David, which was Jesus Christ's family line. And the shoot is a metaphor for the restoration of the line of the Messiah. There is a remnant and restoration coming to God's people in the earth. Amen. There is still a royal line. Come on. There is still the blood of Jesus Christ. There is still the people of God. And God has a remnant. Now, you look around. A lot of people, the statistics, they're not going to church like they were. But there is a remnant of people in the earth that have not surrendered to the lullness and the loss of vision and the sight that Satan is trying to cover their eyes. He said in Isaiah, he gave them a heart of stone. He put a veil upon their eyes so people could not see. There is a remnant in the earth that has not bowed to anything. And God is going to restore that line, and there is going to be praise in them. Amen. And it says in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. And he's prophesying about Jesus. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. I'm telling you what, that's a challenge to the church, man. We need to delight in the fear of the Lord. You know, we want wisdom, we want insight, but the beginning of wisdom, come on, is the fear of the Lord. And if we don't have fear, we can't even start with wisdom. And I'm talking about a holy fear. I'm not talking about a fear of terror. I'm talking about a holy, reverent fear of God. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. It's saying that the Messiah is powerful through the evidence of his words. Even in the garden when they were coming to get him, and there were 30-something Roman soldiers, they were coming to arrest him. He said, "I am he." And they all fell down to the ground. The power of the Messiah's words. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness will sash around his waist. And here he's talking about in the future. So he described in the Messiah who he was. And he says this, the wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. I don't know about you, but we got cows around here. Now, I don't know if there's any bears sitting around them, but they're going to eat together in the future. Why? Because, I'll tell you why in a minute, because their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the oxen. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hands in a viper's nest. Now, listen, this is so powerful. Neither of them will no harm nor destroy on my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. See, all we need is the full manifestation presence of God, amen? And these things that are killing each other, the bear and the cow and the vipers biting people, God says in my day when it's on my holy mountain and the earth has been filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, that the predator and prey relationship will cease to exist. And there will be complete unity and complete harmony on the earth. And lions, they don't eat grass. Come on, they eat meat, but in the future, come on, they're not going to devour fellow animals. They're going to eat grass. So or straw, it says, like the oxen. And it says in verse 10, in that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for his people. Come on. He will stand for a banner of his people, and the nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. You know, the older I get, the more I realize I need to take upon the Lord's yoke. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, there's a lot of things naturally that we can do by talent. There's a lot of things naturally that we can do by desire. There's a lot of things that we can push and strive ourselves. But if we don't have, if you take upon the yoke of an ox, in a yoke, you know, with the oxen, they put them together and they plowed the ground. And I'm going to tell you what, I would rather reap than plow. Come on, plowing is hard. I mean, you're breaking up rocks and hard ground, and I don't know about you, but if you ever tried to put in some a fence and start with a post hole digger, a manual one, man, and you're sitting there and you're getting down to 2 feet and you're getting that hard clay, that's hard work. That's plowing. That's digging the ground. But the reaping is when the fence is built, and then there's a garden, and then that fruit has come forth out of the ground, amen, and you can pick it off the tree. That's a whole lot less labor intensive, and you can also enjoy the fruit. When you're plowing, you don't enjoy it. Come on, you're preparing, but you're not enjoying. It's all work. It's the sweat of the brow. It's hard manual labor. But when you're harvesting, you come home. You know, as a kid, we had a pecan tree in our backyard, and so we'd go out there and collect pecans and crack them and eat them. And, you know, and one of my favorite things for Thanksgiving is pecan pie. I love pecan pie. It should be a sin not to have pecan pie at Thanksgiving. I'm going to talk to God about that one and see if we can get that. But, no, I love that because that was something that you collected I didn't have to plant, didn't have to dig in the ground, and it's something that you ate. And it says, in that day, verse 10, I'm going to go, in that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for his people. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time. Come on. A second time, God is about to reach out his hand, and he is about to restore some things. I mean, come on, the first time was the Passover in Egypt when it was time for the children of Israel that God had seen enough, and he's heard their cries, so he raised up a deliverer named Moses and a prophet named Aaron, come on, and they prophesied, and the plagues came, and God said, enough, it's time to come out. But then he said in this, a second time, the Lord is going to reach out his hand to reclaim the surviving remnant of his people. Who are God's people? Those who are connected to him through the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, from a remnant of his people, from Assyria, which is modern-day northern Iraq and southwest Turkey, who was often an invading army to Israel, from lower Egypt, from upper Egypt, from Cush, and from Elam, which is means Iran. But Elam also translates into the word forever, eternal, or tree. He said, I'm going to rescue you from Elam. I'm going to rescue you from a tree. Now listen to me. This whole life started because fruit was eaten off a tree. This whole thing that we experience, amen? And so what started on a tree ended on a tree. Because what the first Adam did when he ate the fruit off the tree, it caused mankind the crazy chaos. Now, we got to love Adam. Come on, he's part of the family. I heard one pastor say, when I see him, I'm going to hug him and punch him at the same time. We got to love Adam. He's part of the family. But what he did on the tree, the second Adam, the Son of Man came, and he hung on a tree to redeem. See, God redeems all things. I love in the gospel, Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. So by a tree we were condemned, and by another tree we were justified. And he says also in that, as I'm getting my notes, he said from Babylon, in which is modern day Iraq, which is confusion. So not only is he going to deliver us from the tree, but he's going to deliver his people as he reaches out his second time, his hand a second time from confusion. God is saving his people from invading armies, a tree of death, and confusion one more time. We have been really in an Egyptian season, where we've been worshiping but not experiencing freedom. Come on, I'm talking prophetically now. The church is really back to where it was initially as God called Israel out. We have been in a season of desert. We have been a season of praying. We have been a season of war. We have been season of lack of breakthrough. We have been in a season of struggle. Come on, in the church, and it's like people are looking, and the world's watching. Who is this God? Where it was, Kim would used to say, where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of miracles that you proclaim as your God? But I'm telling you that God is watching, and he's about to reach down his hand one more time. In verse 12 and 13, which is the key verse of the message, and he will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. Now, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you have been grafted into, come on, the tree of Israel, according to Galatians. And he says, he will gather the exiles of Israel. He will gather the church. Come on. And he will assemble the scattered people of Judah. Well, the word Judah means praise. So he will assemble the scattered people who praise him, are people of praise. Amen. And from the four corners of the earth, Ephraim's jealousy will vanish. Who is Ephraim? Ephraim is the son of Joseph. who I could preach on for my entire life and never change because there's so many amazing things. But Ephraim is the second son of Joseph, and before he died, Joseph blessed him. And Ephraim's name means fruitful. So it says Ephraim's, or if you translate it to fruitfulness, jealousy will vanish. And Judas, or praise's enemies, will be destroyed. And fruitfulness will not be jealous of praise, nor praise be hostile toward fruitfulness. Now I'm going to read it in the scripture. Ephraim's jealousy will vanish, and Judah's enemy will be destroyed. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah, nor Judah hostile toward Ephraim. What God is saying, that there is coming a day that when praise will no longer be jealous, or fruitfulness will no longer be jealous of praise. Come on, you can be fruitful and still yet praise him. Amen. There is coming a day where you can be blessed and you can get in here and you can praise. Because you know what? We need to have praise in the good times and the bad times. Amen. When we're on the mountain and we're in the valley, we need to have praise inside of us. But also, Judah, praise, people of praise, they're no longer going to be hostile toward those who are fruitful. Jealousy, envy. Come on. So you know, we see this in the church, and it's horrible. If someone's getting blessed and they're not blessed, but they have a praise and they wonder why, they get jealous towards someone that's having fruit in their life. But I'm telling you, there's a day when all that's going to be put away. And that your praise and your fruitfulness will work together in harmony. Amen? Amen? Many times we have no fruit, but we have a praise. And sometimes we have fruit, but we don't have any praise. I am telling you, in the days ahead, you are going to have fruit while you have a praise. And in verse 14, it says, they will swoop down on the slopes of Philistia to the west, and together they will plunder the people to the east. Who's the people to the east? China. Matter of fact, Job was of the people of the east. And they will subdue Edom. Now, who's Edom? I'm giving you a lot of deep stuff. Who's Edom? Edom means red. Edom is the descendants of Esau. Esau gave up his birthright. Esau was against his brother Jacob, who became Israel. Esau, to me, represent those who are against the covenant and those who are willing to forfeit what God has given to them, and they become a buffer to the church. But in the days ahead, those that have forfeited their right but want to speak against the church, we will subdue or overcome. Amen. And Moab, and the descendants of Moab broke their covenant with Israel. They were supposed to pay an annual tribute. They did not. They attacked the supply lines or the financial resources of Israel that day. And those things that are attacking your finances, I'm telling you, there's a day that it's coming to an end, because we're going to subdue Edom, Moab, and Ammonites will be subject to them. Now, who's the Ammonites? Anyone know? The descendants of Lot. And remember, Lot can no longer walk with Abraham, and they split, and Abraham gave Lot a choice, and he said, well, you could go here, but he says, wherever I go, I'm paraphrasing, but the Lord will bless me. And Amorites became Molech worshipers. And Molech, in 1 Kings chapter 11, basically they took their children and they sacrificed them to demon gods in the fire, amen? And they strengthened principalities. And so anytime innocent blood is shed, according to Genesis 4:10, it cries out to the Lord. God even said that when Abel said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And so this was existing years and years and years ago. But I believe we're going to see a turn in that. Amen. In verse 15, the Lord will dry up the gulf of the Egyptian sea with scorching wind. He will sweep his hand over the Euphrates River, which was actually part of the Garden of Eden, one of the four rivers. And he will break it into seven streams so that anyone can cross over in sandals. And there will be a highway. Now, I don't know about you, but I've driven in off highways, and it's rough. And if you're in the woods and you're trying to drive off highways, you often, in hunting, I used to hunt, right? And I have my four-wheeler. And if you're not on the highway, a lot of times there's trees in the way, amen? And you got to get out and you got to cut that thing down so you got a path. But when you got a highway like I-10 right here, or interstate right, it's easy driving. It's smooth driving. You don't have red lights. You don't have stop signs, you know? And so a highway, he said, there will be a highway, an easy road to travel. For the remnant of his people, come on, there is going to be a highway, that there is going to be an easy road to travel that is left from Syria as there for Israel as when they came up from Egypt. When God takes you out of your situation, he's going to give you a four-lane interstate highway, amen, where you can drive 80. I know some of y'all drive 90. Any police officers? Don't follow our church members, amen? We don't need speeding tickets. Some of y'all be driving 90. I'm kidding. But a highway is an easy road. And I'm going to end with this, and then Pastor Bethany is going to come in just a few minutes. The highway that he talks about is linked back to Isaiah 35. And I'm going to read this to you. You know, when Beth and I bought our house, this scripture jumped out at me because we were lot 35. And I claim this for our house, but Isaiah 35, verse 8 and 10, and it says, and there will be a highway there, and it will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Come on, the things that have been dealing with you, the unclean things in your life, when God opens up this highway for you out of the place of Egypt and he reaches down his hand one last time, the unclean's not going to journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about it. No lion will be there, and nor any ravenous beasts. They will not be found there. Come on, we're not going to have to deal with the beast of the field. But only the redeemed will walk there, and those who the Lord had rescued will return. They will enter Zion, or the presence of God, the place of God, with singing. And everlasting joy will be the crowns, will crown their heads. Come on, who wants some everlasting joy? Come on, everlasting joy will crown their heads, and gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. As my wife comes, the one thing I want you to remember is that your praise and your fruitfulness will not war with each other in the days ahead, but they will work together. And that there will be a highway that God is going to take you on out of the place as he reaches his hand down one last time to deliver us from all that we're going through. And that we will enter in that place of the presence of God with singing, with everlasting joy. And there will be no sorrow and sighing. Amen.
Awesome, awesome word. And without really knowing what each of us were going to be sharing on today, we are both going to be kind of hitting on the same things. And hallelujah. Amen. Y'all awake this morning? Online, y'all awake? In-house, y'all awake? Amen. God is doing some incredible things. God gives a second chance, as he was saying. And so, I think I am going to read Genesis. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 38, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 6, Genesis 38, verse 6. Judah got a wife for Ur. Okay, so here's Judah. He's married, and now here's their offspring is Ur, was their firstborn son. So Judah got a wife for Ur, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord put him to death. Then Judah said to Onan, sleep with your brother's wife and fulfill your duty to her as a brother-in-law to raise up offspring for your brother. But Onan knew that the child would not be his. So whenever he slept with his brother's wife, he spilt his semen on the ground to keep from providing offspring for his brother. What he did was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord put him to death also. Judah then said to his daughter-in-law, Tamar, live as a widow with your father's household until my son, Shelah, grows up. For he thought, he may die too, just like his brothers. So Tamar went to live in her father's household. After a long time, Judah's wife, the daughter of Shua, died. So here we go. Judah, his wife, passed away. Okay, so there's a transition that takes place at this moment. When Judah had recovered from his grief, he went up to Timnah to the men who were shearing his sheep, and his friend Hira and the Adullamite went with him. When Tamar was told, your father-in-law is on his way to Timnah to shear his sheep, she took off her widow's clothes, covered herself with the veil to disguise herself, and then sat down at the entrance, which is on the road to Timnah. For she saw that though Shelah had now grown up, she had not been given to him as his wife. So I'm just going to go and just explain to you the rest of the story here, and then we're going to go into the message. So at this point, here she is. She's at the entrance gate, and she knows that Judah, her father-in-law, who promised, okay, so, you know, here she is, her husband, not just that he died of a sickness, but God killed him because he was so wicked. And then in the Jewish culture, what happens is that when, you know, if the son dies, then it's a duty of the parents, if they have another son, to give the daughter-in-law, who's now widowed, the next son in line. So then he's also wicked. And so then he's killed by God. So Shelah was the one that was promised to her. And he said, you know what? When he becomes of age, then you can have him. But the father was also afraid the last son's going to die. Like, you know. And so here she is sitting. She's a widow. She changes her clothes and she puts a veil over her. And she's waiting at the entrance where she knows her father-in-law is going to be. She hasn't seen him for years. And now at that point, she also discovers that Shelah, he became of age, but that promise was broken. And so when he sees her, he doesn't recognize her. Judah sees her at the entrance, and he thinks that she is a prostitute. And so he goes and he sleeps with her. But before they become intimate, he begins to tell her the gifts that he will give her. I will give you a donkey, which, you know, I mean, that's not much of a gift. But in that day, that was a gift that they would give to women. And in this case, what he thought was a prostitute. And so she said, I don't want that. You know, was there something more that you can give me? And he says, well, I can give you my seal. I can give you my cords. I can give you my staff, which is like his jewelry and his staff and his seal. And so that's what he gave her. And so they slept together that night, unbeknownst to him. And this is her father-in-law. She knows good and well what's going on. That's her father-in-law. And she conceives. She conceives. And as we go further in the conclusion of this chapter in 38, we find that as the story unfolds, they find out that somebody comes and tells a father-in-law, Judah, says, did you know that your daughter-in-law was a prostitute and now she's pregnant? And he said, bring her to me. We will kill her. And when she goes before him, she says, the father of my children gave me these gifts. And sure enough, Judah and everybody else, I'm sure, was completely shocked. And he realized, and he began to say in scripture, she's more righteous than I, because I promised her Shelah. And even though that I was in sin, we were in sin together, I see that, you know, I've been exposed, you know, in this place, right? And so she actually was pregnant, became pregnant with twins. And double, as we talk about, Pastor Josh began to talk about second, two, the number two, double, increase. And I just want to go into this, because have you ever been in a place where every opportunity to produce your dream was stolen from you? Here is Tamar. She has a dream within inside of her that she wants to produce in her life. Don't you know that every woman's dream is to conceive and to have a child? But her first husband was wicked. I could just assume, Pastor Erica, that that marriage probably wasn't the best either. Because if he was so wicked that God himself killed him, I'm thinking it probably wasn't awesome. So I just assume this poor woman had a horrible marriage. In addition to that, now she's widowed, not just once, but twice. Because now in the Jewish culture, we find the second in line, you know, and then Onan was the second in line. Now the father-in-law's like, well, you can have him. Well, anyway, that was a whole wicked situation, so God killed him. And so, I mean, have you ever been in that place where you have a dream with inside of you, but every opportunity, it seems, to go out and to produce your dream, everything around you seems like it's dead. Every source that could help you get to your next level, it seems as if it's dead. And this is where Tamar was. This is exactly where she was. And many of us know that there is a dream inside of us that must come forth. But right now, maybe even today, it seems that your sources are dead. And our seemingly last opportunity, Shelah, has been delayed and unfulfilled. I want to talk to you today about breaking delays and disappointment, because this is exactly where Tamar was. And as she didn't do everything right, but there was something that she did that produced her breakthrough. And we want to talk about that. So we would talk about Onan for a second. So her first husband, as we said, you know, he was wicked. Onan was wicked. He was wicked, and God killed him. And during while Onan was intimate with Tamar, Onan would purposely waste his seed in order to prevent conception, because he knew that that offspring would not really be his, because in Jewish culture, it was the second in line, their responsibility to produce seed in that situation. And really, even though it was their DNA, but it was for if that makes sense. So because of that, he was bitter towards And rather than helping somebody else birth their dream, they would waste what's inside of them. There are those who have the ability to produce breakthrough in your life, but would rather waste their contribution to promote you to the next level and delay the birth of your dream due to harboring a spirit of bitterness. Nothing good can be produced when you become intimate with bitterness. We cannot expect to be linked in with people who are harboring bitterness and think that that is going to bring us to fulfill our destiny and our dream. And this is where Tamar was. Can you imagine the heartache? All she wanted to do was to produce. All she wanted to do was to go forward in her next, and every opportunity was stolen from her. There are those who have a spirit of bitterness that will remove themselves from a fertile womb before they become responsible for someone else's breakthrough. Man, there are some people in church that have the sources, that have the wisdom, and that have the ability to help others go to the next level. But because of their bitterness, that they sit on the pews and occupy space in church on Sundays, they will pull out of that situation before they help somebody else conceive their destiny. We've got to separate what the people in our life that have a bitter spirit, because they will only cause delays. They will only cause disappointment. Desperation is my third point today, is that the dream inside of Tamar caused her to become desperate. Have you ever been in a desperate place? Have you ever been in a place of desperation that, you know, it just as in Tamar's situation, I have a dream and I don't know how to birth this dream. I don't even know how to conceive this dream. I don't know how I'm going to get to fulfill the prophecies, come on somebody, that have been spoken over my life. How do I get to that place? And desperation will drive somebody to do some things. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place of desperation where maybe you made some good decisions in that state and maybe you made some bad bad decisions in the state of desperation. Many times when we are in that state of desperation, it will cause us to do things that we never even thought we would do. Has anybody been there? I could say that I've been there, but I want to thank God for His mercy and for His grace that is on our life to help us carry us through. I am so grateful that we serve a God who judges our heart, amen, who looks at the heart of a person. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. Each of us at times, we have allowed desperation to get to the next level, to get the best of us, amen? If every one of us would be honest, we would say, you know what? That's happened to me before. That's happened to me before. We don't always use godly wisdom. We have walked down the wrong paths. We made the wrong decisions. However, like I said, I'm grateful that even during our weakest moments filled with selfishness and the lack of wisdom, God judges our hearts. Here is a desperate woman. Every source around her is dead. I know that there's some people tuning in and in-house today that you could say, you know what, I could relate to where Tamar was at the moment. That, and then what is promised to her is not only delayed, but it's never fulfilled. Talk about delays and talk about disappointment. And I want to tell you that there's something that will break the spirit of delay, the spirit of disappointment off of your life. Tamar disguised herself as a harlot, not knowing that she was the daughter-in-law. And Judah did not know that she was the daughter-in-law and slept with her and she conceived. Tamar didn't do things right, okay? She didn't go about it right. I'm not here to judge the lady, because she was in a state of desperation. And she was in that state. She did fall into sin, and I'm not praising that by any means. She was wrong. They were wrong, and they were in sin. But like I said, desperation will drive you to do some crazy things at times. Not only did Tamar get what she wanted, but she received double. And this is where I'm focusing on today, is that she received double. She became pregnant with twins. Twins means double. Twins means increase. Get ready to experience double increase, double birth. You see, because the longer the delay, the deeper the disappointment, the bigger the birth. Come on, somebody. The bigger the birth. Some of us in this place, we have experienced delay after delay. Come on, disappointment after disappointment. And I came here to tell you today, get ready for expansion. Get ready for the stretching, because it's not just one that you're going to birth out. Come on. But it's two. There are twins within our womb that in this season of delay and disappointment that we are going to push forth. We're going to push forth not just our dream, but God's going to give us double for our trouble. God's going to give us double for everything that the enemy has tried to come to steal, the unfulfilled promises. Come on, in our life, that God is giving us double. Come on, if you believe, you better say amen. You better give God some praise, because I believe that we're going into a season of double. We're going into a season of increase in our life. You see, God's payback for loss of time and delays is always double. It's not just one. Come on, you have Tamar who was in a desperate place. You have Tamar who everything was going wrong. The poor girl didn't do nothing until she was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to have my way and I'm going to do things. She fell into sin. But prior to then, what did she do? She was a victim in the situations and all of these circumstances, the death that was all around her. But God, when in seasons of delay, when you are walking through delay, when you are walking through disappointment, don't just shake it off, because what's coming next is double. God always pays double back to us when we come through seasons of delay and disappointment. You see, when the twins were being delivered, the first one that came out, his name was Perez. Somebody say Perez. Do you know what Perez's name means? It means break forth. Somebody say break forth. One night with praise. I don't know if y'all ready for this. One encounter with praise will cause you to break forth. It will cause us to break out. It will cause us to break through delay and disappointment. Perez means to break out. It also means to break forth. And that's the first thing that came out, the first child that came out of Tamar's womb. Just one encounter with praise will cause you to break through. Just one encounter with praise. When you become intimate in praise in an atmosphere of worship, there is something that begins to shift your delay and your disappointment and turn it into breakthrough, into breakout. Come on, we're not going to just stay in that delayed season. You know, Tamar's tenacity caused her to do some things to push beyond. She was desperate to get. She knew if I could get in the presence of Judah, if I could get in the presence of praise, then all of my disappointment, all of my delays will be erased, and I will conceive not just my dream, but God pays double for all the years that have been lost, for all the time that you have spent crying before the Lord. Come on, God pays double. This is our season of double increase. Hallelujah. Desperation causes you to do whatever you have to do to become an atmosphere of praise. See, once you have been, you know, in an atmosphere of praise, then you understand the power. You understand the power of praise. One encounter with praise will change the entire trajectory of your life. You're going through it right now? It's time to start praising Him. Are you having suicidal thoughts? Are you discouraged? Does it seem like all of your sources are dead? How do we break this cycle? How do we stop allowing these things to overcome us? We've got to get in the presence of praise. We've got to do whatever we have to do to get the attention of praise, because one encounter with praise will change everything. You want to know how to break the delay and disappointment off of your life, off of your family, to break depression off of you? Just one encounter with praise. Just one encounter with Judah will produce double. It will produce increase. It will cause you to break forth, break out of depression, to break delays off of your life. We have to keep an atmosphere of praise in our life activated every single day. Every single day. Because why is that? It's because it keeps delay out. It keeps depression out. It keeps discouragement out of my life. And it causes me to break through and to break forth into what God has for our life. Amen. For every stolen opportunity that you faced, there is break forth. For every delay to your promise, there is break forth that's coming your way. Come on, I hope somebody is catching this morning. I hope that somebody is understanding that, you know what, it's not gonna be like this forever. We have to understand that my situation is not gonna be like this forever. But in order for things to change, there has to be an encounter with praise. I came here to tell you today that your praise is going to cause you to break forth. Your praise is going to cause you to break out of all of the circumstances that have held you back. Your praise is what's about to happen to your impossibility. Some of y'all ain't even catching. Y'all ain't even hearing me this morning. Because if you heard what I'm saying, you get a little excited about it. Because your praise is what's about to happen to your circumstance. Come on. If you understand the power of your praise, that means that you are going to break forth out of this situation. You're not going to stay right where you are. You're not going to stay in depression and discouragement. Your praise is about to happen. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, let's just begin to stir it up this morning, because that is what's going to cause the break forth in your life. Your praise is the expectation that isn't over yet. Tell somebody, say, it's not over yet. Tell them, say, my praise is the expectation that it's not over yet. Come on, life is not over yet, and my praise is my expectation that things are about to get better. Praise is my expectation. It's my anticipation. It's my belief that it's not going to be the same always. Things are going to change. It's my expectation that things are going to change. Your praise is the happy ending on the other side of disappointment. Woo. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm going to get excited about that just for all by myself. that your praise is the happy ending on the other side of disappointment. You may be struggling with disappointment in this place today. You got to put your praise on. You got to put your praise on this morning. Your praise is about to birth, break forth, Perez, into your life. Somebody say this morning, say, break forth. Say, it's my time. It's my time to break forth. Hallelujah. It's our time for double. It's our time for increase. Twins are coming. Come on. It's not just one, but God is causing stretching. God is causing enlargement to take place within inside of us, in our spirit. We don't have room just for one, but we've got room for two. Come on, somebody. That we're going to begin to birth this thing out. All of our dreams, the things that we've been praying for, is about to break forth. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, if you're ready for the delays and the disappointments in your life to be broken, it's time to stand up this morning and to begin to praise him. I want to encourage you. Why don't we right now, as we close and we close in prayer, why don't we all just stand and just give praise to God. God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that on the other side of praise is my on the other side of disappointment. God, with my praise, I'm going to experience breakthrough. Lord, I give you praise that you did not bring us this far to leave us. Come on, just somebody just begin to praise him this morning. Somebody just begin to thank him for his faithfulness. Somebody just begin to give him praise that he has not left you in this situation, that he's about to bring you out. Come on, somebody. Let faith rise within you this morning. We stir up the gifts inside of us. We thank you, God, that when we open up our mouth and we praise you, Lord, that you inhabit, you live in the atmosphere of our praise. God, we thank you that delay and disappointment is broken off of our life because we choose to praise. I choose to praise. Come on. We choose to praise this morning in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our circumstance, facing every mountain, facing every obstacle, facing every dead source that should have been able to bring us to the next place. God, we thank you that right now that the delayer is broken in Jesus' name, that disappointment is broken. God, we thank you for enlarging our tent, for enlarging us, oh God, not just to conceive one, but to bring forth twins. Come on, somebody. We need to enlarge ourselves this morning, to increase our faith, not just for one breakthrough, but for two. God, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're not leaving us here. I declare and I speak into the atmosphere this morning that things are going to change. I speak so every demonic force can hear me this morning, that things are going to change in Jesus' name, that those loved ones, those ones that have gone astray, that we have been disturbed in the midnight hour about, oh God, that things are going to change, that we are about to break forth with our praise. We are about to break out of depression. Come on, suicide has no place in our life. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the power of your praise. And when we become intimate in praise, praising you, God, that things change, that things happen, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We want to thank each of you for being here today. I'm so excited about what God's doing. I want you to be challenged with the words that were brought forth this morning about praise and about God gives a second chance. God gives us a second chance, amen? And that this is a season of break forth. To be fruitful and to have increase is God's promise for your life, amen? Well, before we go, we want to thank our online audience for tuning in. We're so glad that you worship with us today. And we believe, pray God's blessings upon your life. We're just going to pray corporately before we dismiss. Lord, we just thank you for your people. I thank you for your word that you would seal it in our hearts. Lord, I cancel every assignment of the enemy off of our lives. I ask that you would send your angels around us to protect us, to guide us, to lead us, to equip us, to ward off harm against us. I thank you for a super supernatural wisdom and discernment, God, for us, for our family, for our seed. God, that you would strengthen us, oh God, to empower us to go to the next level. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've called us to be fruitful, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for increase, and we break lack off of every person's life. Lord, I thank you, God, for jobs, for better jobs, for raises and bonuses, for benefits, for settlements. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've called us to be the head and not the tail. God, and we thank you that we are above and not beneath. We give you all the glory, all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.